Right now it is time for Appraise This, the frickin' frack of Nick and Knack. We had one last week and we got the other this week. Ladies and gentlemen, would one of the antique guys sign in, please?
Good morning.
We're both here.
You're both there. Well, that's funny. I only have one picture of a guy in a cowboy hat.
That's me.
So, well, ladies and gentlemen, let me redo that interview. It's time for the frickin' frack of Nick and Knack, Tim Luke and Greg Strom, the appraisal guys, TQAG.com on the web, and they're both here with us this morning.
Yes. Good morning.
Good morning. So have you seen the pictures of the NPR gals that we've posted on Facebook?
No, I haven't. I haven't been on Facebook yet.
Well, it's
as you know, I just rejoined because of
the Russians. Russians.
We will check that out.
Yes, sir. And that picture now, as I said, has over 2,800 views.
Fantastic. Oh, that's wonderful.
So it's amazing you put a couple of young women up there. Put a picture of me up there, 62 people. But that's
how the numbers go.
Hey, you know what? That's the way it is. But then again, even when I was young, I would only get 62 people to look at a picture of me. So that's just the way it is. Yeah, it's not a bad thing.
No,
all right. So what have you guys have on the agenda today?
We have a lot going on. I'm jumping in the car right after this and driving down toward Adventura, which is north of Miami, and doing an appraisal, taking a look at some antique stuff, modern stuff, and an automobile. So it'll be interesting.
I'm here at home, and I'm probably I have a workout session today. I have a personal trainer, and then I'm thinking of hitting the driving range afterwards. So,
well, see,
that's what I'm.
I have a personal.
You know, now that I'm semi-retired, as they say.
Right.
Come on,
you still have 5 projects you're working on.
That's right. And semi-retired is like semi-boneless. There's no such thing as semi-boneless. There's no such thing as semi. Either you're working or you're not working. That's
right.
It.
Yeah. It's like a touch of pregnancy.
You get no pity from me.
Thank you. Nor me.
Oh goodness.
But we have, you know, summer, the summertime is, and we're right in the thick of it, which is wonderful. A lot of people are on vacations or planning vacations, and especially in August it gets really quiet. But even in the auction world, this is the time that most auction houses are getting all ramped up for the fall. And so they are out business getting, they're out securing collections, out taking a look at what is available, what clients want to sell, what needs to be added to their sales to increase the viability of their fall sales, and pulling all that together. So it's an interesting time because people think, well, there's no auctions going on, and there's so much that goes on behind the scenes. And even with appraisals, especially down here in Florida, is where I'm going. The individual is out of the country, but they want to get things, and we encourage people to get things done, especially since we're not in the thick of hurricane season just yet.
Coming soon.
Very soon, toward the end of the August, which I can't believe August is already Wednesday, but in the middle of August, that is when it starts really, really ramping up. And we try to encourage a lot of our clients to get things done now, as opposed to September, basically, when people come back. And then there's just a lot of chances for a number of different storms to develop. So we are working on that and taking a look at what's going on. But I did stumble across an somewhat interesting story. And how they ended up in Nevada, I have no idea. But there were some books that were thrown out. So be careful when you're throwing out books. Take a look at them. take a look at their stamp. Take a look at their first editions. Take a look at if it has a library stamp on it of where it came from. Don't throw it out. Don't recycle it. Return it to the library.
Yeah, right.
Because this particular set of 15 books belonged to the Thomas Jefferson Library. It was part of Thomas Jefferson's original library, and they ended up in Nevada somehow. And unfortunately, the story did not track all that, but a refuge saver, good way of saying dumpster diver, ended up finding these things that were thrown away in the dumpster and brought them to somebody to take a look at. And of course, the individual, which, and we don't know all of the facts around it, but whether he took it to somebody or just sent a photograph or just called somebody and said, hey, I've got these books that belong to the Jefferson Library. They were in a dumpster. And of course, your first inclination may be to say, no, they're probably fake. Well, or they're fake, or who knows? And, you know, how would they end up in Nevada? So the gentleman started putting these things up on eBay, and the Jefferson Presidential Library ended up seeing them and contacted the gentleman and said, no, these are original. These are original. Do you have any more? And how did you get these? And so he worked to get the rest back.
You don't think they were the library? I
don't
know. Beady little brain. It just seems to me as though somebody lifted them and then they somehow, you know, oh, voila! Look what's at the bottom of what did you call it? A refuge.
In Nevada. Well, or maybe it was to relieve a debt. Who knows? A gambling debt.
But something that you mentioned, and this reminds me of a guest that you had on, I would say, a month or 6-7 weeks ago. I am beginning to detect, believe it or not, me. I'm beginning to detect an improved intelligence trend.
What?
Yes. I'm beginning to detect that people who have hitherto been quiet about, you know, things that would just set all alarm bells off about, gee, that's really dumb, are starting to say, you know, we're not all like that.
Right.
And no,
I know I miss my stupid crime stories. You know, this stupid. The stupid thefts and the stupid I miss those. So you're right. There must be a trend.
But
intelligent criminal.
The woman that you had on, the museum director,
Kristen.
Right,
Kristen Byron.
And I was asking her a couple of questions, and in her world, the questions that I was asking were just completely foolish because there are lots of people donating to me. Her problem is surplus, not dearth.
Right.
And in a lot of reporting, in a lot of life, you hear about the dearth, not the surplus. Except if you've got, you know, like 172,000 cats and, you know, I mean, unless it's really terrible like that. But there are, and this is what I was wondering, are you finding that there is a core of people who are actually more interested and focused in reasonable valuations and getting stuff organized and understanding that in fact behind the scenes but you know before the big glitzy sale you actually have about 6 months worth of work
I mean to answer that I was just down taking a look. This gentleman had he's downsizing and was having people come in and take a look and give him a lot of the things though were these 20th century furniture pieces. Some of them have been restored. They're very nice, but they're big. And a lot of people are downsizing to small, especially here in Florida. And it's what he was hoping is, of course, he said, well, you know, I own these and these, I'm sure they're valuable. And I said, well, look, value is a relative term. Is it in comparison to what? And what do you think is value? And I had my iPad and I said, I will show you here. Look, here's a dozen of these. And if you think that $500 or $600 is that's value, great, because that's the value. This is what you're going to get because this is just if you're lucky on a good day and especially at an auction. So it's I think that people are there's more surplus that is out there. And because of that, it's the economics. And what people don't understand is that they're not out there looking at the auctions. They're not looking at the consignment shops. They're not looking at these various markets, these various levels of trade where these things take place. And Greg and I are out there doing that, looking at that all the time. And so when we walk into a house, say, oh, yep, seen that. And people are thinking, well, I haven't seen it anywhere. Well, of course, you haven't looked, except in your own house.
Well, and the one thing that I'd like to address about your point, Jill, is there does seem to be an increase in the interest of what things are before they let them go. It seems to be a trend. Because it's taken, how long has the Antique Roadshow been on now? Something like 24 years. And at the beginning of the Antiques Roadshow, everybody, they'd see something that was worth a lot of money, and they would find one that looks nothing like the one that you see on the Antiques Roadshow, with only getting rich on their mind. Now, after this amount of time has passed, and people are beginning to understand that, you know what, I better get somebody in here to take a look at this to see exactly what it is and what should I do with it and what it might be worth if I want to liquidate it. So there's a different thought trend that has happened. It's evolved over the years. So to answer your question a little more directly is, yes, I think there is that trend. And people are not necessarily looking to hit the lottery by having things looked at. They just want to find out what they have. And you know what? I want to get rid of this. I can't store this anymore. What should I do with it? So I do believe that that is a trend that we're seeing more and more. And
They're making educated decisions based on that info. Sorry, go ahead.
Yeah, and people are not as surprised that their items are not worth very much as they were when we first started, because there were times when we would say that, oh, well, this is only worth $500 or $600, and they just knew that we didn't know what we were talking about, and it had to be worth $500,000. So, and that has changed a lot. So, it's one of those things in our industry, you know, we didn't become the the bearer of bad news.
The dream crusher and the grand leveler for no apparent reason.
So,
back to your point, Greg, is instead where they used to think it was $500,000. When it's 500, now I think that they still think there's value. Now I think that their expectations are a little less, but they're thinking that it's 5,000 or instead of 500. And then they're like, oh, okay. So I think they're becoming, the trend is moving more toward the realistic and saying, well, if it's only worth that, then I'll do this with it. Okay, great. But it's finding out that information and understanding in it. And I guess it has become a lot easier to deliver that news, and people are ready to hear that news, because as the Antiques Roadshow continues, they're also replaying a number of things from 20 years ago and saying, here's where the values go, and 90% of them are all going down. And if they were rare pieces, they basically stay the same. It's not even like they're going up. So in some sense, there's also this visual that they're understanding, oh, these things don't go up incrementally 10 to 15 or 20% every year,
right,
or even 2 or 3% every year. Oh, they're staying the same, or it's going to take a lot longer for it to make that incremental jump,
I think there's always, you know, you've got to always watch the pretty much 30-year cycle.
Oh, yeah.
And that's a bit of a, you know, that's been a learning curve. That may also go to what it is that I am beginning to observe. That it's like, oh, right, okay. Oh. So we sat on this stuff, and some of it's good, but the stuff that we expected to be okay now really needs to cure for a little bit longer.
Right.
Or well, you know, one of the other things, one of the other things that we're discovering, based on your comment or your question, is that people now do have more of an idea because they are doing their own research on the web, and whether they interpret it correctly or not, the fact is they know where to go and they know kind of what to look for, which helps. Which makes our job a little easier in giving the, you know, preparing the foundation of saying, you know, managing their expectation. Well, you know, this might not be as valuable as you thought it was. And they will say, oh, yeah, I did a little research and yeah, I get that. So I do think that managing expectations has helped create an atmosphere of a little bit more understanding about what our job is and why we have to be on top of things. So, and managing people's expectations for value is probably one of our top responsibilities.
Well, we have to manage time here.
Said the conductor. So we will manage this conversation.
I feel like the guy with the hook on the
you
that's
wait.
It, baby. We're
just
ready.
So you know, the first thing that happens is he tries to get me to do it, and I'm like, no, you have to.
Right.
So you'll hear like a 1 minute, and then anyway.
Good cop, bad cop.
That's right. I'm the world's the world's largest time clock. Okay.
No, you're not really. But.
Yeah.
TikTok, baby. TikTok.
TikTok. Tick, tick, boom.
Have a safe trip in your car and have a safe time at the golf course.
Right. Four.
Have a great week.
Right.
Take care, guys. Tim, Luke, and Greg Schramm, the appraisal guys, the frickin' frack of Nick and Knack with Appraise This here on Robinhood Radio. Of course, you can find them at tqag.com on the web.